Oh, you never know, dude. I mean, we're going to have to wait and see how it plays out, but it's actually...
And he does have a history of making statements, obviously, to the police.
This is true. Okay, one more negative before we get to the few positives, which were the defense, was the special teams gave up the touchdown last night, the return by Jones, Jacoby Jones, right? That was obviously the turning point in the game. Right now, Mark, if Al Everest is not sitting at home on his lazy boy, snickering to himself right now, I mean, my goodness, the Steelers special teams return game has been pretty good. Obviously, you know, Brown's been good and Rainey's getting better. I'm pretty much okay with that. But the coverage has just been ridiculous. And last night, it really cost them the game because the defense played, for the most part, out of their minds. But special teams, man, I mean, that's, you cannot have a return for a touchdown in your own house in a close game like that. You can't.
Well, no, you can. They had plenty of advanced notice or warning that Jones could do this. We've seen him a couple other times take kicks to the house, and as soon as he got through that first wave, I wasn't even hopeful. I mean,
no, I wasn't either.
I knew he was gone. And you know, to go back to Rainey for a second, I don't think he's anywhere near 100%. He looks absolutely horrible on kickoff returns ever since he got that shot to the ribs a few weeks back, I think against the Giants. He as soon as he sees a guy coming, he pretty much just goes down. He's making poor decisions in terms of bringing it out. I mean, he got us to the 13 and the 18, I think, last night. He just does not look like himself at all. But you're absolutely right. Al Everest, and we'll never know what the story was there as to why he was let go. It was a very odd, uncharacteristic move by the Steelers to do that during the preseason. And this is on Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin said, you know, I and Amos Jones will take care of the special teams. Well, you haven't done a good job, Coach. It's been bad. The tackling's been poor. I mean, they couldn't even let some bulky fullback guy return one almost up to the 50 on a squib kickoff last night. So, you know, they got issues. And again, I keep going back to where Dom was. You know, this game was very, very winnable, which is just incredible for how badly we did on offense and special teams.
I know, I think it was one of the Trib writers, Mark Caboli, you know, analyzed that play. There were a couple blocks that were right on the border of being legal, not legal. And obviously on any big touchdown return like that, you're sitting there going, is there a flag? You almost expect the flag. And I think the Steelers have been guilty of getting flagged for borderline calls most of the year. Unfortunately, they didn't get one there. You know, you can't put that on. It's your job to make a play. You've got to find a way to stop that. Maybe, you know, they shouldn't have even been kicking it straight to Jones. Just, you know, whatever happened. I mean, let me just throw this out there since we're throwing theories out today. Whatever happened to Coffin kicking it or just kicking it out of bounds? Why are you ever giving anybody a chance to return the football in this sport? Obviously, they've moved the kickoff lines up. You should be kicking touchbacks pretty much every time, or at least doing a good job on coverage. But punting, you know, why aren't they learning to kick it out of bounds? I mean, I'd rather even give an extra 5 yards rather than ever give a chance to break a touchdown in there. Do you know how game-breaking a touchdown is on special teams, especially for the Steelers in that situation? Learn how to cough and kick again, and maybe that's just a lost art in the NFL.
I think it is a lost start. I think you're exactly right. You know, I mean, for years the Steelers would kick away from cribs for the Browns because of that very reason. And you know, why not? You know, on a punt, kick it out of bounds, kick it in the corner. At least, I mean, if it rolls into the end zone, big whoop. You're at the 20. It's not a big deal. But when you punt directly to a hot returner, you're asking for trouble with a special teams. That's just, you know, questionable at best. And you're right. I mean, these guys are on the roster to make a play. You know, there's always going to be questionable blocks. You know, maybe you can literally call one on every play, and you know, it might be borderline. But I think you just cannot have a return like that in such a close game. You know, I mean, that Drew Butler just does what he's told. So, you know, if they say boot it wherever and you know, he does his job, then that's fine. Now, if they say Coffin cornered it and he screws it up, then that's on him. You know, I don't think we'll ever know that. But, I mean, the special teams really just let this group down last night. And you're right, Mark. I think it was that Leach that took that fullback squib kick up? I can't remember if that's who it was.
I want to say, Yeah,
was it?
What?
Backup, fullback.
Yeah, there is such a thing, you know. Hey, you know, let me go back to what Don was saying, because this goes back to the coward years with me about Coughlin kicking it. And I remember, I believe it was the 2001 AFC title game at Heinz Field, and we had a penalty, and then we punted again to Troy Brown, and I believe he took it back to the house, and that ended up being kind of the difference in that game. And I was wondering the same thing. Why on earth do you not punt the ball out of bounds? And what I was told over and over is that the game has gotten to the point where field position is just too important and you're afraid a guy's going to shank it. And I don't care. I would rather lose the yardage than see a guy take it to the house. It just drives me nuts that art is seemingly lost. And they just will not allow guys to do it. If you watch any NFL game, you rarely see a guy directionally punt the ball anymore. And I don't really understand why.
By the way, that guy was Anthony Allen. It's the backup running back that bounced back. I knew it wasn't Leach. I knew it was like some no-name guy that you're going. He's got the ball. Okay, tackle. What, he got 18 yards on that one? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he matched Rainey's average on kick returns. I mean, on a squib kick.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're going to squib it, I mean, I guess I can kind of get that because, you know, obviously it gives you a chance to get down there and, you know, your primary return guy's probably not going to pick it up. But in any event, I'm okay with a squib, but my God, make the tackle when a big running back or a lineman picks it up. I mean, it's not that hard. The guy's not going to run very fast. But, I mean, just to kind of move along here to try and get to some positives, the defense, in my opinion, played out of their minds last night. They've been consistent. They were hard hitting. Excuse me. They didn't get a whole lot of consistent pressure. A couple of well-timed sacks were very, you know, helped out a lot, Mark. But I think generally speaking, when you hold a team to 6 points and those field goals that you do allow are coming off of turnovers, basically, there's no excuse to not win a game when your defense plays that well overall.
You know, Dick LeBeau, and I've been a guy, I've been all over this guy, and it's not because I don't like him. I think Dick LeBeau is a great person, a great coach, but I think at times things pass him by, and he gets vanilla, he gets stale, all those other words. But, you know, he really did come up with a great game plan last night. They did a really good job of getting Ike Taylor on Torrey Smith. He was an absolute non-factor. I think what they're doing with Ryan Clark is outstanding. It's very similar to what they were doing with Troy Polamalu. It just doesn't look the same because Troy is so darn noticeable on the field because of the flowing hair and just the way he moves. But Clark continues to have a Pro Bowl-type season. It wasn't typical Pittsburgh pressure the way that many of us have grown to know and love. But it was there, and you could tell Flacco was rattled. And I think the hit he took on their first drive from Woodley, I believe it was Woodley or Kiesel, maybe it was Kiesel, was huge. And I think rattled him the rest of the game because he was throwing balls into the stands along the sidelines a good deal of the game. And, you know, I guess to be Debbie Downer, the only thing with this defense that I have an issue with is the lack of turnovers. Ike Taylor could have made an amazing, and it would have been a tough play, don't get me wrong, to intercept the ball. Mundy had one right in his hands down in the red zone. I think somebody else had another one at one point. I mean, we've got to create turnovers, especially when you don't have Brown, you don't have Roethlisberger on offense. I mean, you've got to shorten that field. And again, that's not to take away what they did last night, because they were outstanding.
I have something to throw out there. There was a tweet I saw during the game at referee Jim D. His name's Jim DePaulis. He spent 11 years as an NFL on-field official, and he kind of covers stuff for Pro Football Talk on NBC Sports. And he was tweeting out something that the Ravens, in his opinion, had a formation with guards and tackles off the line to pass block that appeared to be an illegal formation. And I've seen that out of the Ravens against the Steelers before. Michael Orr is usually very guilty of this one, him with his quick first step, miraculously always in position. You know, perhaps if that formation goes up in line the way it's supposed to be, much like the Steelers had to play by those rules, maybe we would have seen a little bit more pressure getting through in there. I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all solution here. I was shocked, and I think I tweeted at one point, to see a holding penalty called against the Ravens. You know, it was like, oh, my God, you know, that's never called on a Steeler linebacker being held. You know, so that was a minor miracle in and of itself. I think the problem with the 3-4 defense, I don't know quite yet that time has passed Dick LeBeau by. I think the problem is we haven't had all our linebackers healthy. Mm-hmm. We haven't had our full defense healthy in, what, 5 seasons it almost feels like. Troy Polamalu's always missing time. James Harrison's been banged up. I mean, even Woodley's been banged up. Timmons is hardly in there. And, you know, Ferrier was a little bit slow last year. A 3-4 defense runs on, you know, the three linemen sucking up the blocks up front and your four linebackers making plays. When your main linebackers are hurt all the time, you're not seeing those plays made. You're seeing plays being made down the field. What happened last night, though, was great secondary play. Ike Taylor was all over whoever he was assigned on any given play. When it was Bolden, Bolden wasn't making any plays. Torrey Smith had 1 catch for 7 yards on 7 targets. So somebody did a very good job last night. That rattled Flacco. You could tell he was a little frustrated. He couldn't get the plays going downfield. Then a little bit of pass rush was getting to him. He was getting a little bit happy feet and making some plays. And that made a difference in his game. That kept him off edge a little bit and really gave the Steelers a chance to make some plays. Unfortunately, we never saw the customary turnover we were so used to seeing out of the big nasty D, the Blitzburg defense. Turnovers have been an issue for, what, 2 or 3 years now. Now is where I think it's finally time the Steelers have to start making youth movement in the offseason. They have to finally get the next linebacker of the future. Maybe Harrison's done as a Steeler. Maybe it's time to go out and spend a first-round pick on a linebacker, get somebody in here with some young legs that can get through there. But the problem also is, you see it, there were some holds last night that definitely weren't called. And, you know, when you're not calling it both ways, that makes a huge difference. It seems like, you know, Cologne getting nailed for a hold on every big play, you know, maybe that's his reputation. They love calling at least one or two every week on him. But he also does some stupid stuff, so I'm not excusing him out of everything there. It's all the small things that add up to everything in the big picture. And the Steelers aren't quite there, but I like the direction they've been trending in so far this year, you know, compared to where they were starting. I mean, the first couple of games, you know, when you're giving up all kinds of yardage and points to Oakland, when Tennessee's able to march down the field on you, the Ravens couldn't march it down the field on them last night. And I think the Ravens are one of the better offenses compared to some of these other teams. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Steelers' defense last night, obviously, if you look at the score, this was a defensive struggle. But I think it was more the Steelers' defense played very, very well against a good Ravens offense for the most part, who was conversely, you know, there were people that were saying, the Ravens' defense was great. Well, the Steelers' offense sucked. So, you know, they should have been good. So, you know, I don't put much stock into the Ravens' defense being all that great. But I agree with you that I think the Steelers' defense right now, they're in a transition mode. They still got older players, you know, right now on this roster, and I think over the next couple of years we're going to see them more and more phased out. You know, last year was just the start of, you know, the purging of the older veterans, and I think that'll continue in the next couple of years. The lack of turnovers is always a concern because the Steelers right now are playing games so tight that you would love to give them a short field, but hey, just getting some guys healthy. I think right now with Will Allen playing back there, for as long as he stays back, he's playing really well. And I mean, this defense is ranked number one going into this game without Troy and without a real healthy Harrison. So they're doing some stuff right. But yeah, I just think, you know, it may be a while before we get back to seeing the old Blitzburg defense, or maybe we never do. And this is a new version of it coming along that's going to take time to develop. Excuse me. But I just think for the most part, I really loved what they did last night. I think LeBeau had a good game plan. I think pressure got there just enough at the right times, especially late in the game. This is going to transition into the last part before we end up the show. The defense gets the big sack on third down, gives Pittsburgh back the ball. And of course, you know, they do nothing with it because they sucked. But overall, I think, can somebody explain to me the fumble Ruski college ridiculous ordeal play that was, Mark? Because I mean, it was obviously, you know, normally you would throw a Hail Mary there and hope for a defensive pass interference, right? I mean, that's your normal logical thinking. Of course, Leftwich can't make that throw because Thomas still got him in the game. He's got 2 broken ribs. So then you throw this this short out and try and do this fumble rooski flea flicker college try BS call that I absolutely could not stand last night. And there was no way in the world, if I was the Ravens, I was laughing on the sidelines at that play call, dude. I'm sorry, I was.
Well, you just said it. I think what happened was they knew, and Mike Tomlin and Todd Haley knew, Byron Leftwich was not going to be able to get the ball down there. So they felt they had a better chance of doing this, you know, Cal Bears play, which, of course, they did it on a kickoff, but, you know, lateral, and that was the problem. And as we've talked about all evening long, it goes back to just poor preparation and poor game management, because there's no reason in the world that Charlie Batch, you know, shouldn't have been in there at that point to chuck that ball deep. No pun intended. But I mean, it just was, it spoke volumes of the entire evening, especially the volumes it spoke of the offensive game plan. Just, you know, in Mendenhall, not getting out of bounds. I mean, how many seconds were wasted there? You know, I mean, hey, great, Richard, you got an extra 3 freaking yards. Get out of bounds. You got to save time. Just again, as Dom said, the little things that affect this team are just growing rapidly.
And the problem is when you screw up time management like that, it makes you rush and make bad decisions. And it wasn't just the Mendenhall throw. I mean, there was another throw where he throws it right over the middle to Heath Miller, would have gained, what, 8-9 yards? That does you no damn good in any situation at the end there. And the problem was is it got to the point where they weren't in range to do a Hail Mary because, you know, you have a gimp at quarterback now with busted ribs and an irritated shoulder that you refuse to pull out. And maybe I'm beating a dead horse right now, but I think this is hammering home the point of what happened last night. When you have a stubborn refusal to pull out an injured backup quarterback, I can understand if it's Roethlisberger, who's got a history of playing hurt, you know, okay, leave him in there, let's see what he can do, you know, against the Niners last year. You know, he had no business starting that game, but you threw him in there anyway because you felt he gives you the best chance to win. But this is Byron Leftwich, who hasn't started a game for you before. You know, when he's hurt, when he's sitting there coming off the field, I mean, it was just funny to watch him last night. I mean, when he's standing up, I mean, he's like punch drunk, standing there like trying to shake his knees and stumble over the sideline. And then after that kind of act, you're sitting there going, no, I'm fine. Right, okay, dude, sure. And they're not even looking at him on the sidelines. And you know, there's quotes today, Max Starks, I think Jonathan Dwyer saying, yeah, dude didn't look too good trying to get up there, but hey, who are we to question it? Well, maybe somebody should have stood up and said, hey, coach, this guy's not doing too good. Why don't we put Charlie Batch in? At least he can throw the ball. At least maybe he can make something happen here. Give yourself a chance to win. That's always what Football 101 is all about. Give your players, put them in the best position to win. And when you put an injured quarterback out there that can't make any throws, I mean, how big of a conversion would it have been when he had that guy wide open down the field 30, 40 yards? You make that one, maybe you got a chance at a long field goal. Maybe you only need to make one more play. How big would it have been if you got those two timeouts back at the end of the half? You know, you had to score a touchdown on that drive. If they would have scored a touchdown on that one, I could maybe stomach the two timeouts that they lost. But they didn't score a touchdown, and that was the game right there. When you couldn't score a touchdown in that close, you have to take in this kind of game. You have to take advantage of every single point opportunity. I looked at my wife right then and there. I said, that was a big opportunity missed right there. I mean, yeah, they got a field goal out of it. Cool, whatever. But you had to get a touchdown in that situation. And if you go up 14-13 there, the way the defense was playing, I had no fear that the defense was actually going to give up any points at that point. And as it turned out, they didn't.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's just, there were so many missed opportunities, so many little things that you guys really, really hammered home. Just real quick before we wrap up, from each of you, Mark, start with you. Give me a quick 1-minute scenario on this game coming up against Cleveland. Obviously, it's a huge concern, at least from my end right now, that, I mean, Cleveland played Dallas tough. Right now, their record shows that they stink, but they've been in just about every game. So this is a monster must-win game against a very underrated opponent, you know, as much as you can say the Browns are underrated.
Well, I liken this game to Kansas City. This is another trap game scenario where you're coming off a horrible home loss to your arch rival, and you know you got that same group at their place the week later. And hey, you got your other rivals sitting there. You got to go to their stadium and play. And you're right. They have been competitive every week. Say what you will for Brandon Weeden, but he's getting better each week. Trent Richardson is a solid young running back. You know, they've got weaknesses, but can we exploit those weaknesses? And I'll tell you right now, our defense is going to have to save us again, and you know, limit them to 10 to 13 points, because I just don't see our offense scoring much more than 14 to 17 points, if we're lucky. So I expect another, slobber knocker here, in Cleveland. I don't think this is going to be easy at all.
Here's the scenario in this one. You definitely take the under. There's not going to be a lot of points in this one. You got Brandon Weeden up against the number one pass defense in the league. Dick LeBeau is going to know how to make some tricks, to kind of throw him off of his game. I think we definitely have the defenders in the secondary to match up with what little offensive firepower they have. What do they got? Josh Morgan, Greg Little. They still don't have any offensive weapons that are going to threaten you outside of Trent Richardson, who's on my fantasy team and kicking some butt this year, by the way. So I do hope he gets a little bit of yardage this week, but nothing to really put a serious damper on the Steelers' chances this week. But it all comes down to, can you stop Trent Richardson? Because if they can get going on the ground, that's what they're going to want to do. They want to keep it out of the hands of Weeden. They don't want him to have to make plays. But, again, do you have enough offensive firepower to make this happen? I like Charlie Batch starting in this one a little bit better than I did seeing Byron Leftwich. Again, I thought Batch should have started, but I'm not the head coach. I think Batch just has that veteran presence. I think the team buys into him a little bit better. He's almost like an assistant coach on this team. I think he's going to make smarter plays, and yeah, the main thing is protecting him. I don't know that the Browns, the Browns are going to have to get some pass rush going. So it's, again, a big-time matchup for how well our offensive line matches up in this one. If we can get Antonio Brown back, that's a huge advantage, because that's going to give more options down the field. It's going to change up your entire scheme, your entire game plan, if you've got Brown in there. And who knows, if Burris is ready to go in this one, that also could have an advantage in this one if they do sign Burris. So that's the way I'm looking at this one. I like the Steelers a little bit better, just because Batch has more experience than Weeden. Weeden maybe has a little bit more talent at this point in his career. I think Richardson is the better running back on the field right now. But again, can they take advantage of that against the Steelers defense that's been playing pretty well on a run? They shut Ray Rice down to 40 yards. Why can't they do the same to Trent Richardson?
Yeah, I agree. I think you both make excellent points. I think that this is going to be a close game. The Steelers are basically playing back in desperation mode again. They are two games behind Baltimore right now. They're going to have to win again to try and then, you know, go into Baltimore in 2 weeks to try and squeak a win out of there if they want to have any chance of the division yet. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Cleveland defense, you know, was giving Romo fits for a lot of that game up until the fourth quarter when they kind of went in the tank a little bit. So I think overall it's going to be a tough one. It's got to be a win. I agree with you guys. I think the team buys into Batch a lot more than they ever did Leftwich, because he's been there so long. And you're right. I think he's almost like another coach. So yeah, as long as they can protect Charlie Batch in this one, I fully expect him to make enough smart plays for the Steelers to win. But it's not going to be easy. But yeah, I think we will wrap up the show now. We've covered a lot of ground. We had a lot of great discussions. Dom, thanks so much for joining us, man. We love your input. Dom from Trib Live Radio and PittsburghSportingNews.com. Check him out on Twitter at Steel City Voice, right?
That's right. You got everything right.
Right on, right on. I am just that good.
I appreciate that.
I am just that good. All right, so I will shut up now. So thanks for listening to Blitzburg Radio, presented by SteelerAddicts.com.